Spirit, that you're here this morning, that you've spoken to us through this kid this morning. Lord, there is a life in this building this morning that has been touched by this. There's a life that has gone through this very situation. Father, all of us have gone through that. And we thank you, God, for that blood. We thank you, God, for the finished work of Calvary. We thank you, God, for the promise of God that you have for us. We thank you, Lord, for victory. Father, we give you praise and we give you honor. And I thank you that you speak to your people this morning. Speak to us and ignite our hearts, oh God, with your word, Father, that, Lord, we shall stand on this word and be people of application, bringing wisdom into understanding and knowledge, but also applying the word of God into our lives. Thank you, Father, as we receive this morning, speak to us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen, hallelujah. Well, you got your Bibles? Pen, piece of paper. There's a space between Malachi and Matthew. There's a blank page there. You can write on that. If you didn't bring any paper with you, hallelujah, that's there for you to write on. Hallelujah. Well, we've been talking a lot about the kingdom because we are kingdom people, understanding kingdom. And when I discovered myself, the kingdom, I've never been the same ever again. And I wanted to introduce this message this morning by going over some key principles in the message that I've been sharing since the beginning of 2019. I believe that we are at the end of our transition period as a church. There's been a change that happened in the leadership, in the pastors, but we are now over our transition period. We are ready for 2020, hallelujah. Even before it gets here, we were 3 months before that, I believe that there's something going to break through. Something is going to happen, not only in the church, but also in your lives. Hallelujah. And I wanted to just say that, you know, please turn with me to our constitution, I call it. And in subsection Matthew, 6, Article 33, in our kingdom constitution. For those of you who are still being delivered from religion, it's Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Hallelujah. The word of God says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Hallelujah. That word has been my word for the first part of our me taking on the church as a pastor. That has been my word. It's a principle that I stood on. But the word seek means to not just to desire it. It means to desire it or to pursue it. It also means to study and to explore it. Seeking means you don't just seek with your casual Christian walk. You don't just wait around casually for the kingdom. The Bible says what? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The word seek means to desire, to pursue. It also means to study and to explore. It doesn't mean you just go looking for it. It means you need to study it. Go after it. Hallelujah. It doesn't just happen because you're born again. It just doesn't happen. You got to seek for it. You got to be hungry for it. You got to go looking for it. You got to study it. It's important for us to not just seek and look, but to study it and to understand it. And that's what Jesus wanted us to do. It doesn't just happen because we're born again. A lot of people who are born again don't understand kingdom and are still living defeated lives. When you don't understand the principles in the Word of God and what the kingdom, what Jesus brought for us as kingdom people, you will always live in defeat. That's why he said, seek. Come after the kingdom. Don't be casual about it. Your salvation is not a casual thing. You've got to run after it. You've got to look after it. You've got to fight over it. You've got to watch over it. Just like the skit we just did so today. That is why you have problems living in those two worlds that I spoke about. The two worlds in one earth, which we are, the kingdom people. You got to go seek and look and explore and study because you cannot experience what you don't understand. And if you don't understand it, you end up with religion. When you don't understand the kingdom, you will find religion. And that's a dangerous, dangerous place for you to be because religion has destroyed a lot of people. Religion, I came from that place and I never wanted to go back into that place. When I understood kingdom, It totally transformed me, and I went seeking and looking for it. I was hungry for it, hallelujah. Studying it, looking at the Word of God and finding out what it really means, and studying it in the Hebrew context and the Greek context, and understanding what Jesus meant by it. The kingdom that Jesus introduced in Matthew chapter 3, verse 2, is not a religion. It is a government of rulership of the kingdom of God, which you and I are representative of. When you have inherited the salvation of Jesus Christ, you are a kingdom citizen. As Mama Ali said today, you are living inside a kingdom. God wanted the invisible heaven to be manifested in the visible earth through you and I, who have inherited the kingdom of God. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 6, Jesus said, as you go, he's talking about the kingdom. He says, preach this message. What message? The kingdom of heaven has come near. It has arrived. You can what? Reach out and grab it. It's right in your hands. It's in your grasp. You can get it. Hallelujah. He said, it's here. You don't have to wait for it no more. Hallelujah. In other translations, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, he says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and violence take it by force. Hallelujah. In other translations, it says, forceful men take it by force. This doesn't talk about physical violence, church. It means you have to be hungry for it. Hallelujah. In other words, those who really want it are those who take it forcefully. You go after it forcefully. Go after the kingdom forcefully. Don't live a casual Christian life, because the devil wants you to do that. The enemy will always want you to be, oh yeah, I live under the grace right now. Yes, you are. But the problems of this world is still there knocking on your door. That's why Jesus said we have to overcome that in the kingdom. We've been saved, transformed by the blood of Jesus, renewed, reinvented, if you can call it. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but our lives still working here on this planet Earth, and the devil still operates and works here. A lot of Christians have experienced it but not interested in it. They're happy with their religion. They just go to the mass and sing the three songs and do the services and do a little bit of ritual, and they're happy with it. They go back and live in sin. Not the kingdom of God that Jesus introduced. Hallelujah. They have never experienced really the kingdom living. But for you to understand the kingdom, you got to forcefully go after it. You got to study it. I've been studying the kingdom. I love it. Every time I look at it, I go, wow. I'm so glad I've been delivered from religion. And that is why you cannot experience God's grace by casual acquaintance with God. You got to be hungry for it. You got to be finding yourself sitting in that church. It was God who said, if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. The word heart refers to your what? Subconscious mind, not your brains. Your heart. Bible talks about the heart all the time, the heart of man. That's where everything is stored. It's like a hard drive in a computer. Whatever you see, whatever you read, whatever you get yourself involved in, it's stored up inside this hard drive. And that's the place where Jesus came to clean. If that place is not clean, then you are not ready to live in the kingdom. I spoke about overcoming your problems and your past and living in the future. Because once you overcome your past becomes a weapon that you can use against the enemy. It becomes what? A testimony that you can speak. That you're free from it. You can speak about it. Hallelujah. You go to a point where you desire, I got to know God. I want to know what he thinks. I want to know what he wants. I want to know how he does things. That's how you have to get to a point of that. You got to go and say, I want to know. God, I want to know what you want for me, what you have purposed for me. Hallelujah. I'm going to dedicate my time to read the Bible. I'm going to dedicate my time to read some books and study. I'm going to dedicate my time to coming to church and sitting in a meeting like this and receiving the word and going back and studying it. This is not a casual Christian walk in the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God doesn't need you to be a casual Christian. You're a kingdom-minded person. You are not here to coexist with religion and coexist with other things. You're here to influence and take over. Hallelujah. I'm going to come to church, sit in this meeting, listen to the pastor, Find myself in home groups. Find myself in fellowship. Hallelujah. A lot of people still haven't got it. He said, only the forceful ones take hold of it. Take hold means what? To get hold of it. Grab it. Hallelujah. A lot of people still haven't got it. And when you got it, it's going to what? Get you. If you got it, then he's going to get you. And when it gets you, you'll be a totally transformed person. You'll be zealous for God. Hallelujah. God wants people that have got it, people that have understood it, people that are running after it, forcefully going after it. Hallelujah. And you begin to see results the way God intended for you to have results. God wants you to have results the way he intended for you, not the way you intended for yourself. Our results that we achieve is not compared to what God really wants for us. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, Jesus' mission and purpose of Jesus Christ was obvious, and that is for you to understand and receive the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Repent means to turn around, think differently, because you cannot think like the way the world thinks inside the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 4, 43. But he said, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. Hallelujah. He was sent for one purpose and one purpose only. That is to bring the kingdom of God back to mankind. Bring our inheritance that we lost in the garden back to us as kingdom people. Hallelujah. He never came to bring religion, church. Never came to bring religion. Religion was created by man. Jesus kept repeating himself, I came to bring the kingdom. I came to bring the kingdom. Not a religion, but a kingdom. Hallelujah. Our religions are complicated. Religions, and it doesn't really benefit us lately. Has it benefited? It never benefited me. It controlled me and made me feel I'm not worthy for anything. It didn't show me why I was born. It didn't show me who I was in Christ Jesus. Everything about religion was just, you stay there and we stay here. Hallelujah. Our religions are too complicated. But to live victoriously every day and to understand the wisdom of God in our daily lives, in our jobs, in our relationships, we are still struggling to attain what he meant, the victory over the world. Church, when we come into this place and understand the kingdom, you are going to walk a victorious life. You are going to be a big trouble for the devil. You're a dangerous person when you understand the kingdom. Hallelujah. See, the problem with us is we come out of religion and we bring it into the kingdom. Religion and kingdom don't work together, my friends. Doesn't work. That's why Jesus' greatest enemies and people that were going against him were the religious leaders, because they didn't understand him. He never came to be part of a church group. He never came to be part of a denomination. He didn't come to be part of this elite group of people. He was a rebel bringing the kingdom of God. He was a king. And he waited till the Roman emperor or the Roman kingdom arrived on the world, because the people couldn't understand what a kingdom was. And Jesus had to use the Roman kingdom to explain the kingdom of God. That's why he was amazed at this Italian Roman soldier, because the man understood kingdom. Hallelujah. God didn't come here to start no religion. He came to impact the planet with his will, his purpose, and his intent. That's it. That is why Christ says, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, our Lord be thy name. But your kingdom come on this earth like it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Whatever that is in heaven, God, we want it to be here right now. It has to happen here. God wants it to be duplicated here. The invisible heaven has to be visible on planet Earth. Where? Through you and I, who are actually carrying the Spirit of God inside of us, called the body of Christ. We become the body of Christ. Every one of you sitting here is a vessel that carry that Spirit. Hallelujah. That is why your basic prayer should be, God, impact the planet with your will. Your will must be done here. When the disciples ask him, how do you pray? Jesus said, first, let me tell you how to pray. First, know that God is in heaven and the earth is his footstool. And when you pray, pray that his kingdom be revealed here on this planet earth Hallelujah. God wanted his visible kingdom of heaven to be visible on planet Earth. To understand kingdom, we must understand that Jesus was talking about what he was restoring back to mankind. Those who have inherited the salvation of Jesus Christ, which is you sitting in this room today. Hallelujah. Those who have inherited salvation. Those who are the heir, co-heir to the throne. Co-heir to the kingdom, sorry. Hallelujah. One of the most dramatic moments in Jesus' life was recorded in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 to 20. You know this story very well. I like that story. After asking his disciples who they thought he was, Peter rightly identifies him as Christ, the Son of the living God. You can read it later if you want. And after he said that, Jesus asked Peter, "Who do men say that I am?" And Peter said, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Correct." But he said, "The Spirit told you that, Peter. Not your human brains, not your human understanding. The Spirit of God taught you that." Hallelujah. And then after that, moments later, Jesus says to Peter, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Hallelujah. What is the key? The Bible uses key as a symbol of authority. And I spoke about authority and power in a couple of Sundays ago. Change the few people. You know, I said, if one person come up to me and said, "Pastor, I remember this now. I understand this. Praise the Lord." If it goes over people's head and one person get it, hallelujah, my job's done. In Isaiah chapter 22, verse 22, God says, "I will place on his shoulder the key to the house of David. What he opens, no man can shut, and what he shuts, no man can open." He was talking about Eliakim. Here we see Eliakim the priest receiving the key of the house of David on his shoulders. A trusted servant to the king wore the key to the house on a hook upon his shoulders. Therefore, he had the authority to open or close the king's house. Guess who's got the key today, my friends? You, little old you, sitting right here. When he gave the keys to Peter, he gave it to, and then at the end of it, he gave it to the disciples. You have inherited that by the salvation that came from Christ Jesus. That key is yours right here. You are the one that carries the keys right now. A trusted servant of the king, hallelujah. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7 uses similar symbolism, speaking plainly of Jesus having the key of David. You can read it later, and I can read it for you too. Verse 7 says, "To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the words of him who is holy and true," talking about Jesus now, "who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open." Hallelujah. In ancient Israel, the human king was in fact the steward of God and the true king of the land. You are a steward of God right sitting right here today. You have the keys, you have the authority to bind and to step on snakes and scorpions. Hallelujah. Already given to you. In a similar point, the divine Christ is the steward of his Father's house. He's a steward of his Father's house, and he's given you that key. When he left, he says, "Now the key of authority is with you. Go therefore, preach the gospel, baptize them," making them what? Not making them into a religious person, making them a disciple of who? Me, Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to bring an illustration regarding keys. Anybody got a key? Have you had a bunch of keys that you don't even know what they're used for sometimes? You know, sometimes I find keys that I can't remember what they open, and I'm testing every kind of door and every kind of thing to open this certain thing with this key, which it's totally useless to me now. Have you ever done that? So you've got a bunch of keys, and sometimes you don't even know what they're used for anymore. And you can't remember what they use for anyone. I think everybody's gone through that same situation where you have keys where you can't, and you have to go and buy a new lock and a new key every time. When you lose the key, that's the end of the lock. You go and find a new lock, find a new key, and then you got all this bunch of keys sitting there. You don't know what to do with them. Hallelujah. I found keys that I don't remember that lock or unlocks anymore. So I possess a key, but it's useless to me. And people carry on useless bunch of keys in their pockets every time. Sometimes. You do that sometimes, or just me? Then you realize, I don't even know if I have a purpose for this key anymore. Maybe I should go and get a new lock and a new key. Hallelujah. That illustration, ladies and gentlemen, is a graphic. It's graphic because it describes what happens to religious people. Religious people have keys, which is in this what? This book. But having keys and knowing how to use them or knowing what they are for is a different concern. Hallelujah. That's why we have to understand the principles. That's why we bring principles every time when I talk. I live my life now based on principles because it works for me. It works. Guaranteed. Principles work. So having scriptures and not knowing how they work to unlock riches that God has in store for us is just as bad as not having it at all. Hallelujah. There's a saying that goes like this. He who doesn't read is better off than he who cannot read. I'm bringing some very simple messages this morning. Like I said, I don't bring high-powered revelation messages. I bring principles of the Word of God, how to live life in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. How to achieve and unlock certain things in your life, the blessings that is in your life, by applying principles in your life, walking in righteousness. The same thing is true of he who has a key and doesn't know what the key is for. It is no better off than he who doesn't have a key at all. A person that has a key and doesn't know what it's used for is no better off than a person who doesn't have a key. Both of them are the same. Hallelujah. The religious leaders of the day of Jesus had the same problem. Matthew chapter 23, verse 13. Jesus said, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those who enter who are trying." Hallelujah. Man, I've been in this situation before. Christ specifically said to them, he said, "You know the scriptures, but you do not know the kingdom of God." And that, my friends, is the difference. Understanding the scriptures and understanding what it says about the kingdom of God. When you talk about religion to people, they don't want to listen. You know that? Have you actually been to this situation? See, the cross, the Calvary, the blood, the resurrection were all means to the end to bring us into the kingdom. Those are means to an end. If you talk about the blood to somebody who doesn't know Christ, he wouldn't know what you're talking about. If you talk about Calvary to someone who doesn't know Christ, he wouldn't know what you're talking about. But when you talk about a kingdom, you say, there's another way. There is a way. That's how Jesus ministered. That's why Nicodemus came to him, not at any time of the day. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. This old man came and said, "You've been talking about this kingdom all this time. What is it? And how do you get into this kingdom?" he says. And Jesus said, "Well, you have to be what? Born again." And Nicodemus said, "Well, do I have to go back into my mother's womb and be born again?" He says, No. You have to be born again in the spirit. Your spirit man needs to be transformed. And that's why I came. Hallelujah. I came so that you may have life and life to the fullest. Oh, I love Jesus. Praise the Lord for his salvation. Praise the Lord for the blood. Praise the Lord for the resurrection. Oh, we are resurrection people. Our lives live through the grave. Nothing can stop you. Hallelujah. It is an answer that means to bring the kingdom back and deliver it back to man. Jesus came to restore back the inheritance that the enemy stole and ruling by bluff on this earth. You are a dominion people. You're supposed to be over dominion over every circumstances and every situation in your life. Hallelujah. When you talk about religion, people shut off. Why? Because religion has destroyed many lives. People don't trust religion anymore. People have really mixed feelings about religion. And that's the unfortunate thing. And it's sneaking back into the church, rearing its ugly head inside the church. And we have to be careful. Jesus never wanted in the church. He never brought it into this world. He brought a kingdom to you and I to understand that he is a king that rules and reigns. He is not a prime minister that you can change and have board meetings about his word and change these and change these laws. When the king speaks, it becomes a decree. It's law. You obey it. End of the story. Hallelujah. And you're a kingdom person, you obey like that. He's a king. If you treat him like a prime minister, you'll be backsliding every bank. He's a king of all kings, Lord of all lords. Hallelujah. He's here to rule and reign on the chair and the king of the chair of David. Hallelujah. Oh, some of these kids. I get excited when I understand that. I thought, nobody's going to pull me down. Nobody's going to talk. I don't worry about what people talk about me. What is this kind of a person? I don't care. You know who I care? I care about what God thinks about me. Hallelujah. You know why they get excited about the kingdom? Because the kingdom answers man's number one problem. Do you know what man's number one problem is, church? I'm talking about mankind. I'm not talking about male and female. Man's number one problem. Mankind's number one problem. Man's number one problem, he doesn't control his circumstances. That's the number one problem man has. Man cannot control the circumstances that happens in his life. That's the title of my message this morning. Overcoming your circumstances. But you got to know how to do it in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. He doesn't control circumstances. That is your number one problem. That is our number one problem. Nothing feels more helpless than when the doctor tells you that they can't do anything for you anymore. And they're going to send you home. How helpless do you feel? You cannot control that circumstances. Nothing is more helpless than when somebody rings you up and says, sorry, you didn't get a job, but thank you for your application. Try somewhere else. How do you feel? I've gone through all these circumstances. I know. Hallelujah. You know, I applied for jobs and applied for jobs and I gave up. And now the jobs come to me on the plate. I have never applied for a job for 20 years. Why? Because I understand kingdom. Hallelujah. And if I seek his kingdom first and all his righteousness, then all that shall be added unto me. Hallelujah. Jobs will come looking for you, my friend, knocking on your door. We heard that you needed a job. Hallelujah. Money will come after you. We heard you got a business and you needed some financiers and investors. Hallelujah. Here's some money. My friends, this is kingdom living. This is understanding kingdom and moving in the kingdom. Hallelujah. Nothing feels worse than when they ring you up and say, you didn't get the job. How do you feel? That sinking feeling when you cannot control the circumstances. Friends, these are real issues of life we're talking about this morning. Nothing feels worse than when the banker rings you up and says, sorry, your loan application has been rejected. How do you feel? You are a kingdom person. You tap into another source. Hallelujah. There's another source. You live in two worlds on one earth. You can tap into that world so easy. Why? Because you carry that spirit. You understand that place. That sinking feeling. Oh, but let me tell you the good news this morning, my friends. The kingdom of God gives you what? Power to overcome your circumstances. Oh, you're sitting there going, amen, amen. You need to believe this. Clap and give God praise this morning. The kingdom of God overcomes circumstances. I'm teaching you how to live in the kingdom. I don't want you to come and get saved and live unvictorious life in God, backsliding here and backsliding there, and going over there and coming back over here and running after the thing. No, this is not the kingdom. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, you have authority over all circumstances. Why? Because Christ has what? Overcome it. And then after he had done that, he said, now I have given you what? Keys of the kingdom of God. Not to the kingdom of God. He's the key to the kingdom. He's giving you the key of the kingdom. How to live and operate and think inside the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. The world is like a magnet. It drags you back. That's what Paul says. Paul says, reach out and just force yourself towards what God has already given to you. Why? We got to lean towards it because the world keeps pulling you back into that place that you've come from. Just like what we saw this morning. That was so appropriate. They didn't even know what my message was. Hallelujah. That's the Holy Spirit. Let me just put it another way. The reason why people pursue religion no matter what kind of religion. It is because religion promises them power over circumstances, some kind of power. The most helpless circumstances we have in life is what? Death. There is something that you cannot overcome. There is something that you cannot win. Death is there to claim every life. Our end happens with this spirit called death. That's a circumstance that you cannot control. That's one of the most helpless circumstances ever. All of us have gone through situations we've lost, not lost, but our loved one has passed on. All of us, we've experienced that. That one thing that we cannot stop. So all religions try to offer you some kind of explanation as to how to overcome that. But the kingdom of God does not only give you the power to overcome circumstances in life. Hallelujah. Are you with me, church? The life you're living right now, also the life after death. Why? Because Jesus is the only one who proved that it can be done. He said, I'm coming back. You don't play around with death. You don't say, I'm dying now, but I'll be back in 3 days. No person can do that. No Buddha can do that. No Muhammad can do that. No Haile Selassie can do that. No Joseph Smith can do that. Only one person who is Jesus Christ can say, I'm coming back in 3 days. Hallelujah. Buddha never came back. Muhammad never came back. Haile Selassie never came back. No Maharaja has ever come back. And I don't want to come back like a grasshopper. And if you ever come back like a toad. Go Queensland. Hallelujah. That got you there. I don't want to come back as a cockroach. If ever I was going to come back as an animal, I'll come back as a toad. And smash those cockroaches in Sydney. Hallelujah. All right, come back. Refocus now. You awake? So they are not still certain that they can control the circumstances of death. That is why resurrection is so important for the world. Why? Because Christ did not only show that we can overcome poverty or lack of elements, the wind and the rain. Not only did he show us that we can have authority over sickness and all this other stuff. He says, you come back. When you die, you get resurrected up again. Hallelujah. You live through this physical earth into the spiritual earth, and you can come back out again. Hallelujah. He proved that. The only one that proved that. He also had authority. He says, I'm going to the grave, but I'm coming back to show you that I have power over all circumstances. My friends, you are sitting here today because the Word of God says in Romans 8:11, the same Spirit, oh, hallelujah, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives and dwells inside of you bodily, hallelujah. That same Spirit will give you what? Life and life abundantly. Not life when you go to heaven. Life right here, right now. When you have inherited the salvation of Jesus Christ, you have life. You have the authority. You can speak and things move. Hallelujah. All of heaven is right behind you. When you speak, God sends heaven behind you. Think like that when you're not just one little tiny guy trying to fight against all these devils. You have the angels behind you. You have heaven behind you. When you speak, you're petitioning the government that is going to send its army to take care of whatever situation that you are in. Hallelujah. Jesus said to Pilate, oh, I like that. When they took him to a religious court, you realize that he didn't answer anybody? Why? Wrong courtroom. He's a king. He doesn't answer to you people, religious people. And they slapped him and spit on him and pulled his beard and did everything. And he stood still. And then they said, we're going to take you now to see Pilate. Oh, he got excited. He says, now I can talk. Why? Because I'm talking to a kingdom person now. He will understand. And when Pilate said to him, are you a king? Jesus said, yes. And that is the reason why I was born. Oh, I'm getting goosebumps all over me. Jesus said, yes. And that is the reason why I was born. I am a king. Oh, hallelujah. Listen, my friends. You are a kingdom person. You don't stand in no religious court and talk to any religious person. You are a king. king, you're a son of a king, a daughter of a king. You answer to kingdom. You don't answer to religion. Hallelujah. Jesus showed that. He didn't want to say anything because they send the religious guards and all these religious things and try to create him into a religious person. He says, I'm not, I am a king. I've come to establish a kingdom on this earth that the enemy has stolen from my people, which is you and I, the citizens of the kingdom. Hallelujah. When you understand that, you can live your life comfortably, knowing that your circumstances, you can overcome it with the authority that he's already given us. Hallelujah. I don't just get resurrected. I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus said. You don't just resurrect me. I am the resurrection. You have the resurrection of Christ. You have the resurrection living inside of you. The power of resurrection lives and dwells inside of you. That's why it says, I will give you life and life abundantly. Life beyond the grave. Life even today's day today. Life when you walk into your school tomorrow. Life when you walk into your job tomorrow. Life when your family's having problems. Life, you speak life. Speak life into it. Life when your marriage is going in some shaking, your marriage is shaking, speak into it. Hallelujah. Because life is inside of you. Oh, when you understand, that's a key. That's a key. Speak it. Don't beg God for nothing. Don't cry to God for nothing. You stand on the position that you have as a kingdom citizen, understanding that you are a co-heir of the kingdom of God. When you speak, there's an authority that God listens to you. Why? Because you are a kingdom person. King will send his angels to your disposal. Hallelujah. You don't beg. You don't go around begging for nothing. You thank God. Just thank him. God, thank you. Thank you for my health. Thank you for my life. Thank you for my marriage. Thank you for my children. Thank him. Hallelujah. You are not born to beg. You're a kingdom person. Hallelujah. Religion will always get you to beg for something. Go and confess your sin here and there and there. Oh, my goodness. I've confessed the same sin for the last 20 years. 10 years, I think. Hallelujah. Church, that is why kingdom is so important, because the kingdom promises what? Authority and victory over circumstances. No religion can offer that. Only the kingdom of God promises you that. It's got to do with your, as a dominion person, have dominion. You have the power to have dominion over every circumstances that you go through. That is already in you. Try it. Don't just sit on it. Try it. Apply it in your life. Speak it. Get it working inside your life. Let the word of God start to help operate in your life. Stand on that one word for 6 months. God, I'm going to stand on this word for 6 months and see that it will work. And God will do it for you. Hallelujah. You stand on the position and the right as a kingdom citizen and co-heirs with Jesus Christ. You are a son and a daughter of the King. You don't cry, beg, you just ask. Ask and it shall be what? Given to you. Seek and you shall find. I love Jesus. He just makes everything so simple. No more casual Christianity. No more casual seeking for God's kingdom. Study. Get into it. Get the word of God inside of you. Hallelujah. Those principles have totally set me free, and it should be setting you free this morning. Hallelujah. God wants you to have victorious life, and that is your right as a kingdom citizen. God wants you to have control over your circumstances this morning and all throughout your life, my friends. Hallelujah. I want to leave you with a scripture that is so powerful. Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. Let's read it together. Oh, it's on there. Let's all read it together. Ready? Go. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Hallelujah. That's a promise. And that's a key that is given you. You can go out there and use that powerfully. Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 10, verse 19, go there. Oh, that's a screen there I'm taking around over there. All right. Let's read Luke chapter 10. These are the keys he's giving you. Behold, ready? 1, 2, 3. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all power of the enemy, and nothing shall by means hurt you. Oh, hallelujah. This is not some sort of a religious little thing that he's giving you. This is a kingdom decree. He said, there it is. Now go and use it. Use it. Get it into your life. Hallelujah. Get it into you first, then you can take it out and use it. Matthew chapter 28, last scripture, verse 18. And Jesus, are you ready? 1, 2, 3. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying what? All. Everybody say all. All. Shut it out. All authority has been given to me in heaven, on earth. Oh. And then he sends you out. And at the end of the scripture, it says, and behold, I shall be with you to the end of the age. Oh. My friends, if you're going through some situations today, I want to pray for you. The Holy Spirit is going to release you from that. If you've been bounded by religion and having problems with that, see, bringing a religious mindset into a kingdom is not, that doesn't work. It'll clash with everything that Jesus has been teaching us. It will clash. That's why he said, repent. Repent meaning transform your mindset. You don't think like that over there. In the kingdom, we think differently. Hallelujah. Repent. Turn around. Live differently in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Can I have the musicians up, please? We're going to sing a song. And we're just going to give some time to the Holy Spirit to work and to move in your life. If you have some situations that you're going to and you don't want to come up after and see me, please don't leave this room. I want to pray for you. I know God's going to do something in your life to totally transform you. Hallelujah. Leave you with some keys to operate in the kingdom of God. Can we all stand, please? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you've spoken. Father, we receive your word, and I pray for each and every person in this room today. God, I thank you. Thank you for life that has come. It's transforming their hearts right now. Today, there's a transformation taking place right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.